Welcome into the ESPN FC studios. I'm Sebastian Salazar. Great to be with you. Lots to get to in today's show. Paul Pogba once again cannot keep Real Madrid's name out of his mouth. We will discuss that. But since it's an international break, let's start discussing international football. 8 1-off matches on Thursday. Last chance saloon as far as qualifying for next summer's European Championships are concerned. And to break down all the matches, we welcome in, what a trio of experts, Ian Dark, Steve Nichol, Jan Agafjortov. All right, Jan, let's start with you. Norway 2-1 losers at home to Serbia. What happened?
Nothing. Norway were bad. We have a good young generation now of Holland with Sørloth for Leipzig, Ødegaard, Real Madrid, Sandberg doing well at Sheffield United, but from first minute, more or less to the last, we equalized 3 minutes before the end, took us into extra time, but I was just to keep on our pain. And Milinkovic-Savic, the Lazio striker, scored two. He came on as a sub. Mitrovic from Fulham, he could have had four goals. It was just terrible. We're out and we're not even close. And that feels a bit sad now because this young generation, Norway, we haven't been at the championship for 20 years and we were not even close, and that is very disappointed. And that's the report from Norway, a rainy Norway today in all means of the words.
You mentioned those young players, Jan Odegaard, Haaland, Sørloth. Like, what was it in this match? Were they inexperienced? Did it show? Were they naive? Because Serbia looked like the team that was at home playing for the win, not the other way around.
Exactly. We knew when we got this game in March, we had a home advantage. Of course, that could be an advantage to have a full Ullevaal stadium. Today, we have 200 people who we could take in with all kind of rules because of COVID, of course. But it was just like boys against men. I mean, Serbia, they got the tallest team. They got the tallest team in Europe. And they look so strong. And we just weren't there. We didn't have one shot at goal. Erling Haaland, who's scoring for fun in Dortmund, he had one chance at a corner, but we were just taken apart today. Unfortunately, we had so much hope for this generation. We were so for this Nation League because it gave us an extra chance. We knew that if we beat Serbia, the final would be easier, Stevie. Taking the winner of Scotland and Israel, but we weren't good enough, so there is nothing to hope for, and it's a sad day for Norwegian football again.
Ian, I know it's not the match that you were specifically focused on, but it is a sad day, not just for Norwegian football, but for anybody who wants to watch this tournament next summer. It's going to be a big loss not to have Erling Haaland in it, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, because he would have been one of the superstars, I think, of the European Championships. I do feel sorry for Jan. I do feel sorry for Norway. But that's the way it goes sometimes. They had their chance tonight. They had home advantage and they couldn't make it count. So it's a heartbreaker. Very, very pleased, I must say, for Scotland. It's odd for an Englishman to say that, but I was. And to see Kenny McLean coming forward to take the last penalty with a smile on his face. Imagine that. This penalty, you've got to put it in the back of the net. He had a smile, stuck it in the back of the net, and Scotland now will play Serbia, which is a difficult one, away from home.
Speaking of smiles, look at Steve Nichol. That smile is quite wide. Go ahead, Stevie.
Hey, hold on, Darkie. That was wind. He wasn't smiling. I can assure you that was wind.
It might have been, yeah.
Stevie, you were assigned to watch the Scotland match, and I think like 10 minutes in, you texted our producer and said, I hope we're not doing highlights because nobody is scoring. I don't know if you have a crystal ball there in the background on the left, or maybe it's the right of your shot. How'd you know they weren't going to score, either team?
Well, listen, I'm smiling because we're through, so we should be smiling, but I mean, very early, this had nil-nil written all over it. And of course, unfortunately, I was wrong. So we had to go through 90 minutes. And then we had to have extra time. And finally, in the penalty shootout, the goalie's got to make a save, because neither of them made one save during the 90 minutes or the extra time. You know, there was a header from McTominay, which he should have scored. That was it for Scotland. And then Israel almost snatched it within a foot of getting on the end of a wicked cross in the last kick of the game. But Scotland's through, and at the end of the day, all that matters is the result. And whether you go through in 90 minutes or extra time or penalties, nobody right now cares how bad or how poorly you played. All they care about is you're through, and we've got a big game against the Serbs.
All right then, Stevie, let's look ahead to that match against Serbia. You mentioned it, not many chances for Scotland. Zero shots on goal today. Can they do better against the Serbs?
Well, they can't do any worse. Let's be honest. The problem is they have absolutely no invention or imagination in the team. You know, today pretty much McGinn from Aston Villa was the guy trying to play the passes and put the ball in the box. When his game at Aston Villa is all about him getting in the box. So that kind of tells you where Scotland are as far as creating chances. Now, they're dangerous at set pieces, but that's their hope. Listen, it's a 90-minute chance against the Serbs to try and produce something. Again, whether it's lucky or whether it's actually a great performance, again, nobody really cares. It's about getting through, but I'm really figuring, I can't figure out how they're going to beat the Serbs. They look to me as though they've got far too much experience and guile. But you know what? Anything can happen over one game.
Jan, you saw just how good Serbia can be. Do you give Scotland any chance?
Well, I think, Stevie, talking him down, I remember when I played against him 100 years ago when they qualified for the Italy World Cup, and Scotland's still got a chance going to Serbia. But I saw Serbs, they were very good. As Stevie said, they know all the trick in the book. They are very experienced. And have a look at their squad. There are so many good players. It's also always for fans who don't know international football very well. Have a look at the clubs they're playing at. It's Ajax, it's Inter, it's Lazio, it's all over the place. Jovic, the Real Madrid striker, was on the bench. Kostic, the great left midfield player for Frankfurt, he was injured. So, yes. So the Serbs would be great, great favourites. But it's this one game, and outside the role, that's been done before. But the Serbs at home will be great favourites.
Scotland then will have to wait until November 12th to punch their ticket. We know England is already headed to next summer's European Championship. They faced Wales, 3-0 winners in a friendly today. Ian, what was your big takeaway for most of the last couple of weeks? When we talk Gareth Southgate's squad, we talk off the field. What'd you make of the on-field performance?
It was hard to draw too many conclusions, to be honest. He picked a very young team with only 54 caps between them, but they did the job. And I think there were some useful takeouts from it. Dominic Calvert-Lewin scored on his debut with a header to continue his wonderful scoring streak with Everton as well. He looks a good deputy if Harry Kane gets injured. And Harry Kane does get injured, doesn't he, from time to time. So I think Calvert-Lewin will make the squad. Danny Ings looked full of craft. He scored with a bicycle kick as well. Connor Cody, who's never scored in the Premier League, the Wolverhampton Wanderers defender, he even scored as well with a goal that any striker would have been proud of. But Wales didn't have Gareth Bale. They didn't have Aaron Ramsey. So, you know, it's not one really that you want to be drawing massive conclusions from, but a satisfactory night, really. But you'll find out more about England when they play Belgium at the weekend.
Ian, one English player you didn't touch on, Nick Pope. How real, how close do you think the competition is between he and Jordan Pickford?
Very close, I'd say now, because Jordan Pickford is going through a really shaky period. I covered their game against Brighton at the weekend. He made another bad error, and that's the latest in this series. He's never let England down, and he's probably better with his feet than Nick Pope. But I think, you know, Pope just exuded a bit more air of authority. So that's a big decision for Gareth Southgate to make.
You know, as we talk about Gareth Southgate's squad, there's all the issues going on, as I mentioned, off the field. He had players who broke COVID protocols. We've seen it prior. We have the issues with Harry Maguire. Just straight up, Ian, does this England squad have a discipline problem?
Yeah, I think it does. And it goes back as well. You can think of the bust up between Raheem Sterling and Joe Gomez, if you want to go further into the past. Gareth Southgate's trying to put the lid on it. He's trying to say the right things. But these players don't seem to be getting the message, and they've got to be taught a pretty harsh lesson. OK, he's left a couple of them out of this squad and says they're young, they'll learn. But, you know, it's a problem, and it can spread discontent and instability in the squad if he's not careful.
All right then, gentlemen, thank you very much. Plenty more still to go on the road to next summer's European Championships. Let's take a look then At path B, Slovakia beating Ireland in penalties, Northern Ireland beating Bosnia in penalties as well, so they'll meet for the final spot in next summer's tournament. Meanwhile, in path A, Iceland over Romania, Hungary beating Bulgaria, so it'll be Iceland and Hungary. And then down in path D, Georgia tops Belarus, North Macedonia beats Kosovo, so Georgia and North Macedonia then in the playoff final. And to see full highlights from all those games, make sure to set your DVRs for tonight, 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN2. You got full highlights from all 8 elimination matches.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Paul Pogba has another year left on his contract, too, if Manchester United decides to pick up their club option. But he's already looking ahead towards the future. This is what he had to say while away on international duty with France. Quote, I haven't spoken with Ed Woodward about an extension or anything. I'm just thinking about coming back strongly, physically and mentally, and put on great performances for my club. He continued, Zidane, we all heard some things have been said. What do you want me to say? Yes, all the players would like to play for Real Madrid one day. It could be a dream. It is a dream for me. Why not? One day. Like I have said, I am at Manchester United and I love my club. I am enjoying it and I want to do everything I can to bring this club back where it belongs. Full article on Pogba from our Julian Laurent on our website. For more, we welcome back Stevie, Jan, and Ian. Jan, before we went to tape, you said, I want first shot at this, Pogba. It's all yours.
Yes, I would like to quote a great tweet from a former Norwegian international with big ties called Jan Fjørtoft from June 2019. And I put my glasses on because we were in the same situation. I wrote, Paul Pogba wants a new challenge. Well, I give him some. One, try to become a leader. Two, don't just act as a world champion outside the pitch, do it on the pitch. Three, get Manchester United back amongst the best in England. Four, justify your current wage before demanding more money. That's why I wanted the first shot. It's time that he shut up and try to do something on a pitch.
Look, Jan Agafjordov, not the only one upset. There's a section of Manchester United fans that are very obviously upset about this as well. Stevie, you've played for a big club before. Do they have the right to be?
I don't understand why players are so stupid. Why? You don't have to, because somebody asks you a question, you don't have to answer it. And if you're going to answer it, all you say is, I'm doing my very best at Manchester United and that's the only thing I'm thinking about. And that's the end of the story. But I think it tells you more about Paul Pogba. Listen, I've actually been sticking up for him for a long time, probably the first couple of years of his time at Manchester United. But it is really, really clear. And one of those questions that Jan was posing there about being a leader, this guy has absolutely zero leadership in him. And you can tell because at Juventus, amongst great players, he was great. And when he's in France, amongst great players for France, he's great. But when he's at United, amongst players that need some guidance, some leadership, and need somebody to bring them along, he can't do it because he's only interested in doing his thing. And if his thing's not working, then he's contributing nothing. So, listen, I think he's shown his true colours. He ain't changing now, And if I'm Real Madrid, well, unless I'm going to go back to the Galacticos, then you don't want Paul Pogba because he's not going to help you.
Ian, I wonder what's your reaction? Not the first time we've heard Pogba openly flirt with Real Madrid.
Oh, it's getting tiresome. It's his agent or him. And there's an old line from a song, isn't there? You say it best when you say nothing at all. Stevie's right. He should have just said, no comment. I'm just concentrating on trying to get Manchester United out of their current problems. This is the last thing Manchester United need after this shambolic start they've had to the season is for Pogba to be even talking about Real Madrid. Just bat the question away. Get back to work once you get back to Manchester United and try to get Manchester United back on the right track again. Pogba's made this big money move. He's been at Manchester United a fair old time yet. And so far, really, apart from the odd cameo, he hasn't cut it.
Speaking of articles on our website, Mark Ogden reporting that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer didn't get a single one of his, quote, priority targets during the latest transfer window. Jan, you have some good sources there at Manchester United. What are they telling you?
Well, first of all, I think now when we see all the articles after the transfer window closes, it's all about owning the story because the Manchester United fans are furious because they didn't strengthen the squad, who will come in and do them much better. And for all, Jadon Sancho was the main target for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and it wasn't even on the table. They knew for 3 months the price. They knew for 1 month before the 10th of August deadline that they wouldn't get him. And it's just sad seeing what they got out of this transfer window. And I think that all with Pogba, all the transfer window activity, we know one thing, the weakest part in that kind of chain is the manager. And you can criticize Ole Gunnar Solskjaer for a lot, but he's trusting players, he's complimenting players, maybe sometimes too much. And the sad thing is that the first one that will go will be the manager. So that was a sad transfer window for Manchester United. And they would have loved to have an exciting player like Jadon Sancho in there because at the moment there are not many Manchester United players who stand up for the manager or the club or for themselves.
Stevie, I know it's a long shot to ask if you have any sympathy for anyone at Manchester United, but you've been in the manager's shoes. I remember you talking about on this show before. You've been at a point in a season where you knew the team wasn't any good and you couldn't make it any better. Do you at least feel some type of sympathy for where Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is after not getting any of the players that he reportedly wanted?
Yeah, from a coach's point of view, 100%. Of course I do. Because it sometimes feels as though you're swimming against the tide, you know what I mean? And you're getting nowhere. And that seems to be right now what Manchester United are doing. They're swimming against the tide. They're getting nowhere. And if anything, they're going backwards. And clearly, all he's left to sort out the players that he has. And the truth of the matter is, he hasn't been able to do it with the players he's got right now. So with the addition of Cavani, is anything going to change? I don't see it. So from a coach's point, I get how tough his job is. But really, sympathy for a Manchester United manager from me? You must be kidding.
Been a long day, Stevie. Been a long day. Ian, what about you? Is it fair to ask more of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, or should the criticism, as it has been from some corners, be focused more on Ed Woodward? Like Jan says, it's going to be Ole's job that's on the line, but clearly the issues here run deeper.
I mean, the whole story of Manchester United in the transfer market has been going on ever since Sir Alex Ferguson left the club. You think back to the window where they were left buying Marouane Fellaini at the last moment. They've spent £375 million on defenders since Sir Alex left, and very few of them have come off. I don't think there's any joined-up thinking going on there. They've ended up with Cavani, who's been a great striker, but he's 33 now. Is he going to do it for Manchester United? Does that mean that Mason Greenwood is not going to play? They bought Donny van de Beek from Ajax, good player, hasn't got a start yet in the Premier League. They had to go and get another defender, didn't they, to play alongside Harry Maguire with all that money. Sancho's a great player, lovely player. And yes, if they wanted to pay the money, go and get him. But the priority, I think, was the defence. And if they could get that right, Manchester United could be in some serious business. It's been a bad start, but remember last season, they finished with 20 points out of 27 and stormed into third place. So I'd be very worried about the way the team blows hot and cold under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. It's hard to work out what's really going on there.
Edinson Cavani, maybe not your favorite signing, Ian, but he did manage to crack Mark Ogden's top 10 signings of this Premier League transfer window. Let's take a look at that list. Now, number one on it, Thiago Alcantara. Number two, James Rodriguez. Cavani, as we said, number four. Timo Werner in there at number six, ahead of him. Number five, Partey moving to Arsenal. Jan, as we look at this list, you got any issues with it?
Well, I think Cavani must be based on his former part of his career because he's been out for a while. It could be good for Manchester United, for all the young kids, to have a role model in. There is one striker who's been doing it before. Thiago is a great signing. I think that Mark has been a bit influenced on the first games the boys have played. Thiago came on and did marvellous. I maybe miss Kai Havertz in there because I think in the long term, that is a great signing for Manchester United. I think it's too early to say who will be the best players in there. But I think the list looks okay. There is a lot of players coming in there that we don't know a lot about. And if fans are sometimes honest, well, they are never honest anyway. if a player is linked to them from Spain and Italy, they have no clue of who that is anyway. And they just say that the club needs to get that player.
I know James is number two on this list. But Ian, if we're going off immediate impact, what we've seen so far, he'd have to be number one, right?
I think he's really sprinkled some stardust on Goodison Park. I saw them last Saturday against Brighton. He was terrific. He scored a couple of goals. He set up another one. And he's just become a spark plug at that club. I mean, I'm interested to see where that Everton story goes. It's wonderful, really. And it's almost like a reminder of old times at Everton, who used to be, they won a couple of titles in the 1980s, and not too much has happened for them in more recent times. So I think it's great to see him on that list. I'd agree with that. I think Thiago at number one, yeah, wouldn't argue. I think Ruben Dias might be an important signing who could have made the top 10 for Manchester City. He might go some way to solving their many defensive issues.
Well, in addition to Mark Ogden's list, here's a list of the notable transfers just since the season started. You got to remember, when a season starts, of course, we put our pundits on the spot. They have to make their Premier League predictions. Among the pundits who made their predictions was one, Ian Dark, who had Manchester United finishing second. Is that right, Ian? This is your one chance. You want to take it back? You want to make any changes?
No changes. They've only played three games so far. There are 35 to go. They were playing very well at the back end of last season, inspired by Bruno Fernandes. There is a bit of a shambles there at the moment, but I do think they'll sort it, and I do think they'll improve greatly.
Stevie, you had Manchester United in third. You've dropped them to fifth. You've moved Spurs into the top four. Why?
Well, do you want me to start with Man United, I suppose? I mean, Man United, you know, and Ian was talking about, well, they had a great run and got into the top four, but that was after everybody had completely discarded them, and they were just left alone to put a run of results together. When the pressure's been on, they've never produced, and right now they are struggling big time. And I'm not quite sure how the signing of Cavani, and Cavani only pretty much, makes any difference. So that's why I've knocked him out. And I've knocked Spurs in because the signings they've made have made a huge impact on them. The two fullbacks, Reguilón and Doherty. I mean, you talk about an upgrade on Aurier Davis. I mean, that's like taking Trent Alexander and Robertson away and putting them in Spurs. I mean, just absolutely huge signings. And the one that surprised me is the Højbjerg one from Southampton. I thought, why are they bringing Højbjerg? Because I wasn't too sure about him. But I'll tell you what, in a game that where you can't really tackle that much, he's producing a bit of steel in there. Sissoko and Harry Winks did well. But let's be honest, if I'm a central midfielder, do I want to play against Højbjerg or Harry Winks? I don't want anything to do with Højbjerg. I'll play against Winks all day. So then you add Gareth Bale to that. I mean, so Spurs 100% have had a great window. They got a great result on the weekend. And right now, everything looks rosy. So you've given me a do-over, and I'm going to take advantage of it. And I'm going to take Man United out of the top four and put Spurs in it.
Jan, it's only a few games. Stevie says he's seen enough to drop United out of the top four. Have you?
No, I haven't. But I think that Stephen Nichols, he makes a good case for himself. I mean, he's been seeing a lot of Law and Order series in the USA. I think he's doing well for Tottenham. But I will stick to it because I think the Manchester United, I follow Ian, that they were good at the end of the last season, but they looked tired at the end of the season. So if I should do something, it's to take Manchester United out. But I'm not sure. I mean, the top two is quite easy because what I think Liverpool has done so well, and I think that is the main thing about Liverpool. First, they look for what kind of need they have in the team, and then they look for players, and then there are clubs who just look for new players. And I think with Jota and Thiago, they have done very well for themselves. Diaz coming in for Manchester City will do them well, but I still think Liverpool will nick it. And I mean, everybody is saying, oh, it's so great that Chelsea get a new goalkeeper, Mendy. I'm not over-convinced by Mendy, but I'm sticking to it. I won't change, Stevie. Just stick to your case. Just protect the man you're defending.
Stevie, curious, just a yes, no. If Manchester United had gotten the supposed priority targets for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, would you have kept them in the top four, or are you moving them down based on what you've seen and what you've said consistently on this show, which is you don't rate Ole as a manager?
I thought you said this was a yes or no question.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If he'd got his targets, then I'd be thinking completely differently. Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Why is nobody mentioning Everton, Seb, in the top for the top six?
Oh, because you talk about Everton every time we give you a chance. Are you moving them up?
I'm thinking about it.
We'll give you.
Now you say it. I like the blend that he's got going. I don't know whether they've got quite enough squad depth to sustain it, but they're interesting.
Very much. You can think on it some more. We've got extra time coming up. This is the trio that's back. We take your questions, and if you ever miss it, check it out on the ESPN FC YouTube channel.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And of course, don't miss tomorrow's show. Shaka Hislop, Don Hutchison, Julian Laron, all on the schedule. So is the much-anticipated return of Shaka's Power Rankings. Cannot wait. All right, before we get out of here, one more bit of news. DC United, late this afternoon, announcing that they have relieved Ben Olsen of his head coaching duties. Olsen had been the longest-tenured head coach in Major League Soccer, had been with DC United since 2010. It has been reported that he will remain with the organization in some role. All right, that's it for this edition of ESPN FC. Coming up, it's Extra Time with Ian Dark, Stevie Nichol, and Jan Agafjortov. Hey there, everybody. Welcome into this edition of ESPN FC's Extra Time. We've got your questions off Twitter, and we have just the crew to answer them. Jan Agafjortov, Ian Dark, and Steve Nichol with me. Guys, thanks for the time. First question for Stevie and Jan. Were you ever physically or mentally exhausted in the middle of the season? If so, how did you cope with this while also trying to get back as soon as possible? Jan, you first.
Was I ever tired playing in England? Yes, I was. I came from Austria, where I had a great Christmas period where we didn't play football and we went somewhere in the holiday, but I think we did well. I looked after myself. I think that you should go to Stevie, because I think that he drank something else than me. I only had water,
wait,
you know.
Wait a second. You're talking about going on holiday and how that affected you, and now you're going to point the finger at Steve Nichol. So, all right, Steve, how did you cope?
I'm absolutely flying midway through the season. Are you kidding? How can you be exhausted halfway through the season? How is that possible?
When do you hit the wall? When do you hit the wall then, Stevie?
I would say this probably the last month of the season. Hmm. You know, because it'll depend on if you've done well in Europe, if you've done well in the cups. I mean, you're talking about the league, you know, the European Cup, you got the FA Cup, and of course back then we had the League Cup, and all of these tournaments, it was the first team, not today where they play another team entirely. So, and we probably had a squad of about 14 or 15. So by the end of the season, I remember 86, I was shattered, and then I had to go to the World Cup. But in the middle of the season, tired, are you kidding?
At least that World Cup wasn't played in the heat or anything, you know? It went well.
No, but I think that I gotta be saying that sometimes there is a difference, because Stevie played for the best team in England. But if you have to go to Bury, the 17th of January in minus 3 degrees, it's easy to get tired just walking down the bus.
It's easy to get tired as well, yeah, and having to watch games in the League Cup and do all the travelling, I can tell you, as a commentator.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you're going to get a lot of sympathy from this panel there, Ian. Ian, who do you think scores more this season? Gareth Bale? Ooh, this is a good one. Gareth Bale or Edinson Cavani?
Who's going to make the biggest impact?
No. Who's going to score more?
Most goals, probably Cavani, I think, in terms of scoring goals, if he gets enough game time at Manchester United. Who'll make the biggest impact if he stays fit? Gareth Bale could be a sensation, couldn't he? If you've got him, Kane, Son as the front three for Tottenham Hotspur, that's a game changer.
Stevie, Bale or Cavani, who gets more goals?
I mean, how often is Cavani going to play?
Fair question.
I mean, I can't... Because it's either... It should be either Martial or Rashford through the middle. So if we're talking about Premier League goals, I would suggest Gareth Bale. But there's no way they'll play Bale in the league and the FA Cup and all that. So I'm just not so sure that Cavani's going to get that many games. So I'll go for Bale.
Jan, Cavani or Bale?
I will go for Bale, because I think that in the time of social media, I mean, to be make an unpopular thing, because it's so easy to criticize Gareth Bale. He had a fantastic time at Real Madrid, and when Zinedine Zidane said you don't want to play and he don't care, and he was sitting there doing all kind of body language, playing golf. But if you look at his record at Real Madrid, it's been excellent. If you look at his record at Wales, it's been excellent. So I think he will do very well for Tottenham Hotspurs.
Our next question comes from Electro Vibes. He asks, Ian, do you think lack of crowd support may affect teams such as Liverpool in the Premier League?
Well, it may be already starting to. These weird results we're getting, it's a wild weekend that we've just had. I'm beginning to wonder whether the intensity and concentration is quite there for the players. I think they went through a period where they got used to it. We all got used to it. But now I wonder whether they, not consciously but unconsciously, the players are switching off a little bit. So, yeah, I think it is starting to affect things a little, yeah.
Stevie, Ian mentions all the weird results. On the list of whys, and I've seen a lot of explanations, where does the empty stadium factor in?
Well, I think you used a good example of Liverpool, because no question, when you play for Liverpool in front of the Kop and in front and at Anfield, when it's packed, as good a team as you might be, it lifts you. It absolutely lifts you 100%. And if it lifts you, what does it do to the opposition? So you've got a team coming to play, a team in Liverpool who in their own right are fantastic, and then they've got the atmosphere to deal with as well. So 100%, no people in the stadium, definitely affects likes of Liverpool and definitely affects the underdogs, because I think with no atmosphere, they're just not quite as intimidated.
Jan, Everton or Spurs? Who will finish higher in the Premier League this season?
Well, some weeks ago, I thought that Jose Mourinho was gone, that he was so not modern anymore, that he can't talk to his young players, that he can't create something going forward. It seems that he found more of the balance now. So if he can keep his players fit and Son and Kane, and now he's got some good extra players in, so I think he will do better than Everton. But I had Howard Kendall at Sheffield United. He talked and he told me about the great times at Everton. And I love to see Everton up there again. I mean, a great, great history of the club. And I love to have them there, but I see Tottenham being ahead of them in the table, seeing all the 38 games in the Premier League.
Ian, you agree Spurs to finish ahead of Everton?
Yeah, I think so. I think Everton are going to have a really good season this year, though, under Carlo Ancelotti.
What happened? Oh, you love Everton. All you have to do is talk about Everton.
I think Tottenham will finish ahead of them.
Come on, man. We just backpedal here nonstop. All right, Jan and Stevie, could you... Oh, we just had this. Could you describe the best international break that you guys ever had? Jan, what was that international break?
An international break for some players is to travel somewhere. Unfortunately enough, I had the pleasure to play for my country. So every international break, I was away playing for Norway. And for a Norwegian, the biggest thing is to play at the championships. It's a good night to say now that we qualified for US in 94. So that was the best international break ever.
Yes, you did. And who was the goalie that stopped your shot at RFK Stadium?
Jorge Campos.
That's right. Leyenda.
What do you think about Jorge Campos? The whole press conference, there were like 2,000 Mexican journalists, and they came over to you. What do you think about Jorge Campos? All the time. And what did he do? In the 20th minute, he saved a volley from me. He was a good goalkeeper, and I was a colorful and great papagay kind of goalkeeper.
Yes, he was. All right, Stevie, could you describe your best ever international break?
I'm not really sure what the question is. Well, because, we didn't have a break. We just, we met up on a Sunday, got on a plane on a Monday, played on the Wednesday and flew home Wednesday night, regardless of the opposition, somewhere in Europe. So what was the best hotel I ever stayed in? How about that?
Well, what was it?
What's the best?
And I can't even remember any of them.
You had some good celebrations.
Wow.
Steve, tell us about them. Tell us about them.
I'll tell you.
It's not printable.
I'll tell you the most interesting one. The most interesting one was with the Scottish under-21s when we went and played East Germany. So to go behind Iron Curtain at the time when it was still up was a strange thing. You know, a guy called Roy Aitken and I decided we'd go and get some toys for the kids just to bring home. And we're walking down the street, and A, we couldn't find a toy shop or anything remotely that sold in and close to what looked like toys. And B, we're walking down the road, and Roy turned to me and said, "Have you noticed something?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And he went, "Nobody's talking on the street." And he was right, it was weird. There was plenty of people walking around, but nobody was speaking. It was weird. And then, of course, he went, "Oh, and by the way, see that guy behind us? He's been with us since we left the hotel." So we were like that.
Yeah, the old Stevie Nichols security
That was probably the most interesting one. Yeah.
Always a security detail when it comes to Stevie. Andrew asks, who are the guys' early favorites to win the Euros next summer? Jan, I know this is particularly raw for you today, but who are you taking?
Not Germany. They look terrible at the moment. I mean, they haven't won in 2020. Three games now, more or less, I think, in a row. They've been leading and a draw. They had a draw against Turkey. Scandalous how they play at the moment. So it won't be Germany. And except Germany, it will be the usual suspects. I think that if Gareth Southgate can get a young kids a bit more discipline off the pitch, he got a great set of young players that can do well for them. And then you have, of course, the rest of them, like Spain, Italy, and so on and so on. So usual suspect minus Germany.
Ian, do you want to make a pick or just name like half the field?
Nope, I'm going to make a pick and I'll say Portugal to retain their title.
Wow.
I think they've got a better team now than they had 4 years ago when they won it. And Cristiano Ronaldo is still fit and firing by the looks of things and still scoring goals. And you've got Bruno Fernandes, Bernardo Silva, Ruben Dias in defence. I think they're very, very live outsiders.
Love it. Get in, Ian. Dangerous pick. All right, with news coming in that FIFA might replace throw-ins with kicks, we want Stevie's opinion on what he thinks about it, and especially what would it mean for Liverpool's throw-in coach?
it would be made redundant. That's what would happen to him. If you don't take throw-ins, then what's the point?
He would be thrown out.
Yeah, contract. See you later. All the best. Thanks very much. Bye.
Anybody have a
have you ever heard anything so stupid?
What are they doing?
Yeah,
with
stupid.
That? They're not surely not going to.
That's what happens when you run Shaq out of the equation.
No, but you have the wrong people who make the decisions. You have to, and this is an old cliche, but you see by the handball rule, you need these people out of the office, and then you need some football players who like to do sport politics, because the governing bodies are filled up with people who have no clue about the way of football. And this handball rule, I mean, that is the top of the iceberg. So we take away the throw-ins. So should we do that every kind of throw-in should be setting up players up front in a box and we're going to throw the ball with like a long throw-in? Oh, that will going to be so boring. Please get your ties off.
Jan, I know that we like to complain here on this show, but if you look at the list of people that are making these rules, they're almost all attached to the game in some way, and most of them are former players.
Like, No. That's wrong.
Who makes those rules then? IFAB, Shaka was on the panel for years.
They don't have nothing to say. They're just there to make these high guys who are lawyers, and I worked in sport politics. I'm going to start becoming serious here, because the decision makers in sport politics are most lawyers who are sitting there, and they're using former footballers to just like cover up, like a makeup, so they have nothing to say. If footballers will make the decisions, the handball rule will never be like this today, VAR rule will never be like this today, it will be different. So this is lawyers doing this. Mm. The lawyers,
getting yelled upset. I think this next question might as well. Will Ole Gunnar Solskjaer get sacked before Christmas? Jan?
I don't think Ed Woodward would like to get him fired, because I think he's very happy with that kind of manager there, a former player that kind of don't make too many public demands. But we know that managers, they live and die of the results, and then it's nothing to do with the management or the board or the owners of Manchester United. That would be all the environment around him, the fans, the journalists. And to be fair, there are some managers around now that are happy that there are no fans in the crowd, because they will start booing and things like that. So there are, but I think he will survive Christmas. I think that they will turn it around. And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has been in his time as Manchester United manager. When he's going down, there is always a result, and he turns it around. And I think he will do it again.
Before I ask you the question, Ian, let me go over their next few matches in league. You got Newcastle, PSG, in Champions, Chelsea, Leipzig, Arsenal, Başakşehir here in Champions League. Then you get Everton. I mean, that's a pretty stiff run coming up. Do you think he'll make it to Christmas?
Yeah, I think if you put me in a corner and make me make a decision about that, I'd say yes, he will. But I do think he needs results fast at the moment. So hopefully they'll be able to recover after this international break. I think they will, but that is a tough Champions League draw. Now you read it out.
Stevie, any thoughts? Will Ole survive to the next season, to the next year? Not the next season.
It's just going to have to be a continuation of what they've produced in the first four games, basically, for that to happen. You know, the only reason Woodward gets rid of him is if he has absolutely 100% no choice, because I 100% agree with Jan. It suits him to have Ole there. You know, other managers would be bashing the door down, Ed Woodward's door down, screaming at him, grabbing him by the throat to help them. Ollie's not going to do that, and I think that suits Ed Woodward. So it would have to be an almighty crash for him to get the sack before Christmas.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. That's all we've got for today's edition of Extra Time. Make sure to catch us on tomorrow's show. The boys will be back. I will as well, as we cover all things from around the world of football.